It's now time for the Spirit Mornings Good Book Club on Spirit Catholic Radio. As we open the Bible, let God's Word feed the soul.
Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
So the people answered,
far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is He who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites, who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for He is our God.
You cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after He has done you good.
No, but we will serve the Lord.
You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve Him.
We are witnesses.
Now, therefore, put away the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel.
The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey.
So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people,
behold, this stone shall be a witness to us. For it has heard all the words of the Lord, which He spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God.
So the word of promise, a dramatized audio Bible version. And it's Joshua, the closing chapter, 24, and verses 14 to 27. Bibles are open. The Good Book Club is on the air. Good morning. I'm Bruce McGregor, along with Jen Brown. And Jen, we're delighted to have with us today the dynamic deacon, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, joining us for the Good Book Club. Deacon, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Bruce and Jen. It's great to be with you as always.
All right. Well, probably not necessarily top 10, but top 5 verse scriptures of all time in utterance here. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
As far as plaques on walls,
yes.
it's up there.
It's a biggie.
People really like this one as far as plaques on walls, but there's some context. Verse 14, Deacon Harold, fearing the Lord.
Yeah, so fear the Lord is Yahweh in Hebrew, which means honor, reverence, and respect. So it's a filial fear. It's kind of the fear you have when you don't want to disappoint your parents. That kind of thing, or the respect that you give to your parents, and like looking at the fourth commandment, for example, you know, so that's what's going on there. It doesn't mean like, oh, be afraid of the Lord. Oh, let's all be scared.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people think, but that's not what's going on there. And the interesting thing, Joshua, a Yeshua in Hebrew, is really the same root of the name of Jesus, right? So we see here that Joshua, in fact, is a type or prefigurement of Christ, right? And he's also, remember, he's taking over from Moses because Moses died. Moses was not allowed to bring the people into the promised land. So Joshua, just like Moses exhorted the people in that long, you know, basically the book of Deuteronomy,
yeah.
is basically this long dialogue. So Joshua ends his time with his people in the same way, reminding the people that God's your father, sir. Remember the golden calf. Hey, remember that? You know, don't make the same mistake now when we enter into this new phase of our relationship with God, into this new life that God is bringing us into this promised land, this land flowing with milk and honey. And so, again, exhorting the people and reminding them. So Joshua calls the people of Israel to renew their commitment to the Lord. And to and so he celebrates a covenant renewal ceremony with the people at Shechem, you know, and it's, I think, a beautiful reminder for each and every one of us. You know, when we walk into the church, we dip our fingers into the holy water as a reminder of our baptism, you know, of our mind, of our commitment of aligning our lives with the Lord. And so we should also have this same commitment, this covenant renewal. And that's what I love about our Catholic faith. It's very physical. It's very tactile. We have these bodily ways of remembering our commitment to the Lord. And so I think the Joshua's words are very much for us today as well.
Yeah, and the great renewal is we kind of telegraphed it to the beginning of the segment here, verse 15, putting down the fact, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I think that's something that all of us need to keep in front of us at all times, Deacon.
And I think that's a reminder of who we are in God, not just what we do, but who we are. Because, I mean, look, Bruce and Jen, at the culture today. Look at all the insanity and the confusion and the division that's going on in our culture today, in the secular world and, quite frankly, within the church. And so Joshua is giving us a call to action. You know, and there's several of these verses which just jump out at you, you know, and I agree with you. This is definitely one of my favorites for sure. So we have a choice. Are we going to serve the false gods of the culture? Are we going to worship the Trinity of me, myself, and I that the culture worships? Or are we going to serve the Lord? Because serving the Lord means sacrifice. Serving the Lord means we're not going to be popular. Serving the Lord means that we may lose friends or be deplatformed or, you know, people are not going to like us on social media, whatever. You know, following the Lord means it's not always going to be an easy journey. Again, just like their 40 years in the desert was not an easy journey. And so he's reminding us, okay, this journey that we just went through is difficult. But even when we get into the promised land, following the Lord is not going to be easy because we're going to be surrounded by people who aren't thinking like us, and we have to stay firm. And there are other call to actions that I love as well. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did he show his love for the church? He died for her, right? He gave his life for her. Another call to action to fathers and their commitment to their wives and families in the covenant of matrimony. And also Acts of the Apostles, we must obey God rather than men. St. Peter said, I love that. you know, he goes, oh, who, you know, we got, you know, I know you want us to deviate from our worship of the true God, but we will not do that. We must obey God rather than men. I mean, these are called acts that we all have to be reminded of, to stand up for Jesus and our faith against the currents of the culture.
Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers is with us as we're wrapping up Joshua. Deacon, we've listened and been through some difficult sayings, difficult passages in this book of Joshua as we move to this ending, this beautiful wrapping up of Joshua, where the individuals have come through a lot. They've come through some difficultness into the moving into the promised land, this conquest into the promised land that they've been able to undertake. And they say, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. So is it a matter of like lessons learned? Like, because we hear in the Old Testament all the time, like God says, don't do the thing, and they do the thing and God forgives them. And then they do the thing again, and God says, don't do the thing. And then they continue to do the thing. I mean, so what is this particular ending of Joshua? Are they getting it? Because actually we still could say this today. We read this in the culture today, and we are saying, far be it from us to forsake the Lord and to serve other gods. But we still do that, Deacon Harold.
Jen, you nailed it. I mean, that's exactly our life today. Think about it. We go to confession. We confess our sins. We promise to not put ourselves in a situation where we're falling to temptation of sin, you know, not put ourselves back there again, but bam, there we are. Oh man, I got to go back again, you know?
Yeah.
So even today, we find ourselves in this cycle of caving into temptation. Even though the words are coming out of our mouth, we have to align our lives with the teachings of the faith. That's the hard part. I mean, and you can come to the intellectual decision. I know that this is the way I'm supposed to live. I know what is true, good, and beautiful. It's one thing to think about it. It's another thing to commit your life to it, where the head and the heart have to be connected. And we see something actually similar in John chapter 6. You know, when Jesus calls himself the bread that came down from heaven, he says he's the bread of life. You know, he says you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And he says many of the disciples, when they heard it, said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? And Jesus comes back. You know, oops, oh, wait a minute. I meant that metaphorically. No, he goes, it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh is no avail. These words I've spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you that don't, that do not believe. And he said that this, the disciples drew back and went away from him. And they turned to the 12 and said, what about you? What are you guys going to do? And Simon Peter says in response, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. So, yes, those are the people. And Joshua say, yes, we will serve the Lord. He is our God. Peter says we can't turn to anybody else because you are the Holy One of God. But yet Peter turns his back on Jesus when he needs him the most.
Yeah. You
know, so all of this shows the humanness of our relationship with those that we love. You know, there are times when we even in marriage, we make a commitment, or in religious life. And then, you know, we have a difficult time living that out. But we should always have hope, because no matter what happens, God is with us. When we can't keep our commitment, God still always keeps his commitment to us.
Thank you for bringing John 6 into this, and bringing the, and also the mercy of Jesus into this, because he says this is not metaphorical. This is my flesh is the body of Christ. I want to give you this to help you on this journey. I'm giving you all these sacraments to help you. So it speaks to the mercy of the Lord as well. Like, Lord, you have what we need. Why would we leave you? You have what we need. But Jesus knows that we're broken humans. We're broken individuals. Concupiscence comes into play. So he gave us something to help with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the next verse is Joshua says, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God, a jealous God. Well, you know, he will not forgive your sins. Woo, hold on.
Yeah.
Just like you said, John, I thought he was a God of mercy and love. But he also allowed, what's going on here is not that God doesn't love us, God not forsake us, but there's, again, this human, it's just like a relationship. They apply these human elements to God. basically what Joshua is saying is God is going to allow our free-willed choices to stand. He loves us enough to say, you're going to reject me? I love you, but okay, there's going to be consequences, not because I want it, because your free-will decisions are going to cause effects in your life. You know, and that's what's going on there. It seems harsh, but really it's not God doing it to us. It's more of a result of our free will choices and the consequences of those decisions that God is going to allow because we choose them. That's what's going on there.
Yeah, absolutely. And the real kind of thing that we need to be aware of here is the fact that there's a caveat here, and you'll not have your transgressions forgiven if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods. Then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. So God remains a merciful God, Deacon. We just, we're the ones that mess it up.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So it says, so Joshua made a covenant with his people that day and the statutes and ordinances of Shechem. So what's going on here, this covenant was with Joshua, not with God. So remember, there are six covenants in the Old Testament, Moses, you know, established a covenant with his people in Exodus 24, the covenant with Abraham, but this is not one of those main six covenants that was obviously fulfilled with Jesus at the Last Supper. This covenant was made with Joshua, not with God.
Right.
And so the book of the law of God wasn't the Pentateuch, but it was another law book that has been lost to us over time. And what's interesting about these verses is he took a great stone and set it there under the oak tree. And he said, behold, this stone shall be a witness against us. The stone? How could a stone be a witness? Well, even after the people die, the stone is still going to be there. So it's a physical reminder of the covenant with God, just like the tree in the garden in Genesis chapter 2, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Right? So it's a physical reminder that God of God's promise, of God's covenant, you know, and so that continues to this day, even after we're gone, the tree's still going to be there. Beautiful reminder. And at the end, of course, it says, you know, therefore it shall be a witness against you, and lest you deal falsely with your God. So again, reminder of ultimately, it's a reminder of God's love, right? 1 John 4:16, God is love, and he who lives in love lives in God. And God lives in him. You know, a beautiful reminder of God's faithfulness and God's fidelity. And God has given us the ability to share life with him. Think about how awesome that is. He's given us the ability to share life with him. And so we have these constant reminders of that relationship with God. Now we have the Eucharist. We don't have a rock anymore. We have the rock of our faith, who is Jesus Christ. And so he's given us the sacraments, the physical, tangible reminders of his covenant love with us. And again, I love the physicalness. Just like the rock was a physical sign, we have the bread and wine that become the body, blood, soul, divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we can taste and smell. We can hear the voice of the priest in the sacrament of reconciliation. We feel the oil and feel the touch of the bishop in confirmation. We hear the words of the priest and the oil anointing of the sick. So these beautiful covenant signs and witnesses are still with us to this day through the sacramental life of the church, which is a reminder of our covenant relationship with God.
Beautiful.
Amen. Deacon Harold Brooks-Sivers is with us during the Good Book Club as we round out the book of Joshua today. Deacon Harold, I know that you had to postpone an event that was in the listening area, and so we look forward to you being back in the area very soon.
Yeah, I do too. Hopefully it won't be cold and snowing.
Yeah, we'll do our best.
We'll try.
However, Deacon, thanks so much for being with us. Could we ask you to impart a blessing for our day?
The Almighty God bless you and keep you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. The Good Book Club is heard Monday through Friday on Spirit Mornings on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.